Our passage today is Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. And this is about Peter healing a lame man. And we have to keep in mind that when the Holy Spirit descended on the folks in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Please keep that in mind as you hear the scripture. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those in going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "There happens to be gold coins up here. Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the palace in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses to this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." Amen.
Thank you, Denise. So the money came from you, huh? Before we have communion together, a few moments as we look at the Word of God from the book of Acts. I'll begin with a question today. It's a question to challenge us individually and as a church as we approach a new year. And yes, it is hard to believe that it's 2016. Do you want to be a church that has a God-pleasing impact on our community and our world? Do you want to be a church that has a God-pleasing, and the key there is God-pleasing impact on our community and the world? The early church here in the book of Acts did. They had a powerful impact from chapter 1 through chapter 28. And if you read the book of Acts, you know there are 28 chapters. Had a powerful impact on its Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And yes, we, even us, we are chapter 29. We are chapter 29. But if you just did a real quick survey of the book of Acts and noticed some of the things that happened there that we just heard read from chapter 3, the lame man was healed. Chapter 4, 5,000 men come to faith in Jesus Christ. Chapter 4, Peter and John were put in prison. Whoa, ready for that one? What an impact, right? Peter and John were put in prison. There's great wonder and great amazement in the community. But they were, it was a group that was put in prison because of their faith. Their faith seemed to be so radical and revolutionary. And they were preaching about this Jesus, this rabbi, this teacher, this one was Lord, and calling him God. But they were put in prison. But they also saw many conversions to faith in Jesus Christ. Do you know that there's nothing in Scripture, nothing, zero, to indicate that the church ceases to have that kind of power and impact in its world, in its community? There's nothing in God's Word that says, well, that's fine for the book of Acts, but that's not for you today. There's no indication there. We are Acts 29. But why not today? Why not in Hamilton? Why not in Hamilton Township? Here in Mercer County, I say that it's quite possible that we can have an impact like that. Not that we don't have an impact, we do. But what about like that church in Acts chapter 3? Again, that begs the question, how? What ingredients, if I can use that word carefully, what ingredients must be here in our church to have the same kind of God-pleasing impact on our community as this happened in Acts chapter 3 and throughout the book of Acts? Now let me clarify, because I know your mind is going to drift in this way, and that is when you begin to talk about impact and you look at the book of Acts and we begin to think in terms of success today, and we are such a success-driven culture. Success is not necessarily measured in numbers. Is not about counting noses and dollars, or what I refer to as the three big N's. It's not about, success is not measured in terms of nickels, noses, and names. Nickels meaning how much money you bring in, noses how many people you bring in, or names meaning the names of prominent people that you bring in. Very seriously, you can get a lot of people spending a lot of money to come to a circus or a sporting event, and nothing of God may ever happen there. You can pack people in for a night of entertainment and fun and games, and God not show up. I don't want to ever go to a, quote, God-pleasing meeting where God doesn't show up. So what are the basic ingredients that we must have for God to show up with us, that we would impact our community? It's certainly, certainly not about entertainment. It's not about entertainment. But it's about exaltation. It's about evangelism. It's about edification in the body of Christ. Acts chapter 3, and we're going to narrow our focus this morning to this passage, because there we discover some basic ingredients for impacting our world for God, for Jesus Christ, for the glory of Jesus Christ. And I trust that that's what you want to be, a church that brings glory to Jesus Christ that will impact our world. So my purpose is that what I would challenge us, and I would challenge you and myself, that we would have that God-pleasing impact on our world as we begin a new year. Let's look at the ingredients that we find here. I want to talk about them briefly, and there are several, and I'm going to alliterate the letter M just to help us remember them. And the first one is ministers. Ministers, or men and women who are ready and willing to serve the Lord with their gifts of the Holy Spirit and to commit their time and energy to God's kingdom. I say, well, that's your job, Pastor. That's what you get paid for. Silver and gold have I none, Peter and John said. Ministers, or men and women who are ready and willing to serve the Lord with their gifts of the Holy Spirit and to commit their time and their energy to God's kingdom. Chapter 3 that we just heard, Peter and John. They were on their way to pray. Now picture that. They're on their way to pray. They're going to a prayer meeting. And we'd say, how wonderful. They're going to a prayer meeting. But then they have this divine appointment with a cripple. A man had been a cripple from birth. You say, well, whoa. These guys, what are they doing? They're supposed to be at a prayer meeting. They're going to be late for the prayer meeting. But God had other plans. He had a divine appointment for them. He had a divine appointment. If that had just passed on by and said, sorry, dude, we're going to a prayer meeting, they'd have missed the miracle that God wanted to perform. Divine appointments are not hindrances or distractions. Boy, it took me a long time to learn that as a pastor. You know, I'm sitting in my office or I'm somewhere and I get a phone call or somebody stops by and I'm in the middle of praying or I'm in the middle of preparing a sermon and I get this distraction. Somebody comes and wants to talk to me. Boy, the Lord over the years has had to convict me of that. Divine appointments are not distractions. Peter and John were going to pray, but God wanted them to minister to this lame man. Chapter 4, verse 13 reveals several things about these men. They were two of the original apostles. And in verse 13, we have these very powerful, insightful words. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Oh, let that grab you. They were men of courage. They were ordinary men. But they were men that had been with Jesus. And people that they met in life said these were men that have been with Jesus. I tell you, just give me some ordinary men and women. But men and women that are filled with the Holy Spirit, those who have been with Jesus or that they know Jesus well, and they live in this daily communion, they live in His presence. And we'll see the world turned upside down, I tell you, we will. And we can impact our world with those kinds of ministers, men and women filled with the Holy Spirit, men and women that have been with Jesus. And oh, we desperately need those servant ministers who are faithful and available, men and women who will use their gifts of the Holy Spirit for God's purposes, and they will be there for those divine appointments that God sets up. Will you be one of those? Will you be one of those, even if it means persecution in jail? Because later down the road, Peter and John end up in jail. Peter, Silas, Paul, they end up in jail. The second M, the second ingredient, is money. Or really, I should say, no money. Verse 6, if you know the story and you tracked along as it was being read, here's their response to this lame man. Silver and gold, and thank you, Denise, for this. Silver and gold, I do not have. The lame man was begging and expecting money, and Peter and John had no money, no money, no money. Peter and John had no money. And did Peter and John allow no money to hinder what God wanted to do? No. See, money was no obstacle. I've shared this story before, but it's worth repeating right here. The story about Martin Luther. He walked in on one of his church superiors who was counting all the money one day. Martin Luther, that great reformer. And he walks in and the superior's counting the money. And the church superior says to Martin, see, Martin, no longer does the church need to say, silver and gold have I none. But Martin Luther was sharp. He responded, sir, but it can no longer say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. See, do not believe Satan's lies that we must have money to impact our world and our community for Jesus Christ. God will provide whatever we need if we are obeying Him and living in dependence upon Him and His abilities. See, what did the lame man need? He didn't need money. He needed Jesus and he needed a miracle. He needed two men that were willing to be sidetracked and intervene in this divine appointment. Even though we might say they were going to a prayer meeting. Don't be late for the prayer meeting. The lame man thought he needed money. And he begged for money. And Peter and John give him what he really needs. He needed Jesus and a mighty miracle of healing. That's what he really needed. He felt that he needed money, but what he really needed was Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to touch him. A successful ministry of impacting our community and our world must never, ever be determined by how much money we have. See, our world does not need money. I know somebody's going to probably challenge me on that if you don't have money, you can't buy food and clothing and all that stuff. And I understand that. But when we're doing what God wants, God will provide exactly what we need if we're living in dependence upon Him. So the world that we're dealing with doesn't really need money. It needs healing. It needs the miracle working power of God. Be it being set free from some bondage or some addiction. They need mental healing. They need emotional healing. They may need physical healing. Certainly need spiritual healing. It needs Jesus. And that's what we have to give. That's what we have to give. Freedom in Jesus Christ. Body, soul, and spirit. Are we ready to say, silver and gold have I none? But in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Let Jesus set you free. The third M is method. Method or the right methods that touch real needs. Verse 7, the man was healed. His physical healing was a bridge so that he could find Jesus. And if you read the account and you listen to it carefully, and that's all he begins to talk about is Jesus. And it gives Peter and John this fantastic opportunity to talk about Jesus Christ, the one that they had crucified. But what they were doing was a bridge was being built. And so often people need bridges built to them so that they can come and experience Jesus Christ. Simple question. Do Eskimos need air conditioners in January? No. We don't need the air conditioner on today, obviously. What do people really need? And I mean that, and I challenge you to think very deep and very pointed about that. What do people really need? Ultimately, they need Jesus Christ. And usually we need to build bridges to them by ministering to their serious needs, not just a felt need, in order to give them Jesus. The right method must not be our air conditioners to Eskimos in January. We must minister outside of these four walls and touch people's lives where they are. And there will be divine appointments, not hindrances. Not distractions, but those divine appointments will be things that God sets up so that we can touch the real needs of people's lives. And like Peter and John, we must be out in our world. We must be out in our community. We must minister outside of these four walls. See, what happens when we're outside of the four walls? We begin to bump shoulders with people. And God will bring people into our lives that need those kind of divine appointments, people that need Jesus. Will you be one of those people that will minister outside the four walls and be ready for the divine appointments that God will bring in your life? The fourth M is a message. Message or the uncompromised truth of the gospel. And don't miss this one. The uncompromised truth of the gospel. Acts 3:6, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. It's in Jesus' name that a person has faith. And the healing came into that man's life. Chapter 4, verse 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which they must be saved. In chapter 3, verse 19, Peter says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Repent from your way. Repent of doing it your way and repent to do it God's way. Do it Jesus' way. There is no compromise to the truth of the gospel if we want to impact our world. And I share this with a deep, heavy burden. I mean a deep burden. that's on my own heart as a church leader. A number of years ago, I heard a very popular TV evangelist being interviewed on TV, and he said that he would not use the word sin or sins in his preaching or in his church because he was afraid of offending people. And attracted thousands and thousands of people. But I tell you, I will never compromise the Word of God and the truth of Jesus Christ. Repentance means we have to turn from sin and turn from self and turn to Jesus Christ. Salvation is not found in anybody's name, and that's why I pray the way I do when I pray on Sunday mornings. We pray and worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jesus, God in the flesh, and no one else. As Christians, we do not worship the same God as Muslims do. We do not worship Allah. And don't let anybody tell you different. They are not the same God. We're going to impact our world for Jesus in a God-pleasing impacting of the world. It's got to be no compromising the truth of Jesus Christ. We have to teach the people who are sinful. They need salvation. They need to be born again. They need to repent of where they are and believe in Jesus and believe that He died. He died on the cross for our sin, and He rose from the dead, and He's alive today, and He will return. It's got to be very clear and very uncompromising. We will not compromise the message of the gospel. The fifth M is might, or the mighty power of God's Spirit in us. Verse 8, we find this lame man, and I can you imagine the moment of being there, walking and jumping and praising God. Through His servant ministers, God's Holy Spirit brought healing to that cripple, and he walked and praise God. God made it happen. Nothing but God's Holy Spirit. It was a miracle. Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul later writes in verses 20 and 21, it teaches us about God's purpose and about God's power and about God's praise, that He can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine through His power that is at work in us. I'll pause there. When I say in us, that doesn't just mean me. That means you. If you're filled with God's Holy Spirit and you're a minister, you're that servant minister out there impacting our world outside the four walls of the church, ready for those divine appointments that God brings into your life, you can walk up and say in the name of Jesus whatever God wants to do. And of course, when we begin to think about the mighty power and the mighty work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church, just a few chapters ahead of this, chapter 3, down was going to take place. Here is Ananias and Sapphira lying against the Holy Spirit. And Peter, who just saw this miracle with the lame man, he says to them, why are you lying against the Holy Spirit? And they come in separately. They had lied about money. The issue wasn't so much of how much they gave or how much they didn't give, but the fact that they lied, and the Holy Spirit strikes them down dead, each one of them, and the men come and carry them out. They lied against the Holy Spirit, and they were in part of the church. See, we're talking about impacting our world for the glory of Jesus Christ. We're talking about us at Edinburgh Road Chapel, and not simply another church and another community. I've come over the years to just realize it's not what that group does or that church does or that denomination does. It's about what do we do? Are we going to do what God wants us to do? Do you want to impact your community and your world for God? I trust that we will follow this model that we find here in Acts chapter 3. And I've just shared very briefly this morning five M's that we need to be ministers or God's willing servants. It's about money. No, it's not about money at all. It's about no money. It's about living in dependence upon Him. It's about the right methods of touching people's real needs, not just their felt needs. Not the needs that they think, but what they really need. And it's about our message, the uncompromised message of the truth of Jesus. And then it's about the might and the power of the Holy Spirit. I challenge us I challenge you to be a radical Christian, to impact your world for God. You know, the church is the body of Christ on earth. That's an awesome thought for me. That if I'm going to love Jesus, I have to love his church, I have to love his body. And I trust that you love the body of Christ at Edinburgh Road Chapel. We're just a small part of that body. But God wants to do great and mighty things, and he's done great things, and he wants to continue to do so as we live out Acts 29. Let's take a moment to pray. We're going to have communion together. Father, we're in your presence. I pray that your Holy Spirit will come and touch us now. Anoint our time for your glory, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. The men will get ready. They're going to assist us in serving communion.